Next to the sandy beaches of a small cove not far from the town of Onalaska, Jeff Hancock lures a group of horses with a small bucket of grain. He's approached by three mares and a male yearling, part of a herd of 16 horses who roam wild on the hills and beaches. Hancock is managing a project to geld, or castrate, the herd's five stallions.
We're going to take this little guy here, the yearling colt, and we've got the immobilizing agent in the dart already loaded. And so I'm going to load it carefully into the chamber of this gun.
He approaches the horses with the tranquilizer gun. The male yearling shields himself behind the mares, who are still picking at the food. Hancock hits his mark. After a few minutes, the fuzzy brown horse starts to sway and falls to the ground. Volunteers and an assistant help veterinarian Jennifer Bondo operate.
These are the emasculators. So the part closest to the foal, or the yearling, is crushing. And then this part's going to just cut off the testicle.
First removal.
Okay. 10 years ago, when a family brought horses to Summer Bay from their old ranch on the far side of the island, they didn't intend on the herd increasing. But after the original three geldings and three mares were released, someone else released a stallion. Now at least 16 feral horses live on the populated side of the island. Bondo says feral horses are harder to work with than domesticated ones.
Because we can't predict how they're going to react, we don't have the advantage of having an owner who knows its behavior and who has control of the horse with the halter. So it is very different and can be a bit dangerous, but we've been safe so far and everything's gone fairly well, I think.
Hancock says that because of the horse's hooves and weight, they hurt sensitive tundra plants and cause erosion, which can affect salmon streams. He also says they have negative impacts on old village sites.
So what we're doing is taking a proactive approach right now to try to address the herd growth, so it's manageable, and doesn't have that much more impact on our local ecosystem than it's had already.
But Amo Barakoff Sr., who bought some of the horses after they were brought to Onalaska, disagrees.
Well, they're fertilizing the place, making it grow. They provide entertainment to the public, which won't be happening in a few years because there won't be any more horses out there.
For Barakoff and others, the horses are like community pets.
They flock around you like little puppies. They're actually very, very tame. And some people say they're aggressive, but I think it's because of people out harassing them, scaring them, and chasing them around. And then somebody goes up there and pet them, and they charge at them, and they think they're aggressive, but they're actually not.
Barakoff says he's not the only one who doesn't like the gelding project, but no organized effort was formed to protest it. He says he didn't think it would make a difference. The horses are living on land owned by the Unalashka Native Corporation and the Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge. U.S. Fish and Wildlife funded the volunteer-run gelding project through a grant. Fish and Wildlife's Poppy Benson says the refuge is not managed for domesticated animal use.
From the Fish and Wildlife Service standpoint, grazing is not a purpose of this wildlife refuge. It's not something that we're going to tolerate in the long run.
Project volunteers say controlling herd size also helps the horses. Food can be scarce in the winter. Bondo says overall the horses are healthy, but some show signs of malnutrition. The team will feed the horses and monitor the five new geldings all summer. The group plans on returning next summer to geld any new stallions. In Onalaska, I'm Ann Hillman.